Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of his word. Come sit with us.
It certainly will come as no surprise to those of us who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ that we read in 1 John 5:19 that from beginning to end, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one, kaimai in Greek. Like helpless infants, the people of this world are cradled in the arms of Satan. Wow, that is a rather unsettling picture, isn't it? But it is a picture that we see all around us, all of the time. We live in a godless world. In a world that would eliminate God altogether if they could. We've removed him from our schools, from our nation, and in many cases, we have removed him from our lives. And where we have been unable to eliminate him altogether, we have marginalized him. We've made him seem insignificant so that he is no longer the God of the Bible, but he is a God of our own imagination. He is a God who makes us feel good about ourselves and even comfortable in our sin. So many times, even in our Christian faith, we have become ineffective. We become weak, become shallow and superficial and irrelevant. And so we have very little impact on those around us, on those whom we are to reach for Christ. And like the people of this world, many times we have become self-indulgent. We become self-centered, self-serving. There may be a lot of talk about God among us. There may be a lot of talk about Jesus. There may be a lot of singing and dancing and whooping and hollering, but it seems that there is very little understanding concerning God himself. So there is very little true worship. Very little understanding of who he really is and what he is really like. And though there is much that we do not know about God, and perhaps we will never know while we are here on this earth, still, the Bible gives us enough information to understand that God is holy. Kadosh in Hebrew. Hagias in Greek. In either language, it means the same thing. He is sacred. He is set apart. There is no one, there is nothing like him in the beauty of his holiness and his perfection. So it should come as no surprise to us that God hates sin. Why? Because sin is in opposition to his very nature. It's in opposition to his holiness. And though none of us can really understand the holiness of God, if we can at least begin to understand it, and perhaps we will worship him for who he really is, in reverence and in awe, in spirit and in truth, in a way that brings honor and glory to his name. So in order to help us to focus on the holiness of God, we turn to the book of Isaiah. We turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Now, Isaiah was a prophet of God. He was a man who spoke for God, a man who stood before kings, but he was also a man who stood before the people, declaring the word of the Lord to all of them. And Isaiah lived in a time of great chaos. He lived in a time of great sin, of great confusion, perhaps not unlike the time in which we live. A time when the people of Judah in the nation of Israel had turned away from God. And so now, as Isaiah is about to begin his ministry, we find that the king of Judah at that time was a man by the name of Uzziah, or Ezeiah in Hebrew, a name which means my strength is in the Lord. And Uzziah reigned for 52 years in Judah, a rather long time. And he brought many benefits to the people, many good things. He brought peace to the land by defeating the enemies of Judah. He fortified the city of Jerusalem so that the people had a sense of safety and of security. He developed agriculture and he increased commerce so that the nation became prosperous, even as that nation was sliding deeper and deeper into moral decay. So King Uzziah felt good about all that he had done, all that he had accomplished. But the problem is, he fell into pride, fell into disobedience. And so God allowed him to develop leprosy. And in the year of 739 BC, he died. And the nation was thrown into turmoil. There was panic. The people became fearful, perhaps even more so, the people among the nation who could see the defiant disobedience and the self-indulgence and the self-righteousness of the people. And it was only increasing. And there was no weeping. There was no mourning because of their sin. So, it says in verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 6, in the year of King Uzziah's death, at that time I went into the temple in Jerusalem. And amazingly, I saw the Lord, Adonai in Hebrew. I saw God Almighty. I saw the God of the universe. In the year that our king died, I saw the true king. What an incredible statement. For Isaiah, everything else faded from view when he saw God. And in John chapter 12, we are told that the one whom he saw was the Lord Jesus Christ, who was sitting on a throne. Even when it seems like our world is falling apart and there is uncertainty in our lives and there is uncertainty all around us, we can take comfort to know that God is still on the throne. Christ is still with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. And Isaiah says, when I saw him, he was lofty. Rum in Hebrew. He sat in triumph. And he was exalted, nasa, in Hebrew. He sat in honor and in majesty and in power with the train, shul, with the hem of his garment filling the temple, malach in Hebrew, overflowing throughout the entire temple. And then Isaiah says in verse 2, I also saw seraphim, seraph in Hebrew, a word that means to burn. I saw a group of angelic beings who were burning, who were reflecting the blinding light of the glory of God. And they stood, amed, they waited above him, hovering above the throne of God. And each one of those angelic beings had six wings, we're told in verse 2. And with two of those wings, he covered his face, not even daring to look upon the fullness of the blazing light of the glory of God. And with two of those wings, he covered his feet. Because wherever he landed, wherever God is, it is holy ground. And with two of those wings, he flew in order to serve the Lord, in order to respond in obedience to him. And then Isaiah says in verse 3, I heard one of those angelic beings calling out to another one and saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And this is the only attribute of God that is repeated in this way in the Bible, repeated three times in succession. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, he alone is holy. Holy is his name. Holy is the Lord our God. And it continues in verse 3 where it says, the whole earth is full. It is overflowing with his glory. Just look around us. The whole earth is on display. It is testifying to his glory and to his majesty and to his perfection day and night. Then we're told in verse 4, the foundations, emlach in Hebrew, the stones upon which the pillars of the threshold, seph in Hebrew, of the doors of the temple rested. All of a sudden, they began to tremble. Noach, they began to shake violently at the words of this angelic being who called out with a loud voice. While at the same time, the temple was filling with smoke, with a fiery cloud of the glory of God. As it says in Hebrews 12:29, our God is a consuming fire. And what was Isaiah's reaction to all of this? Unlike many who claim to have seen God, Isaiah was terrified. The way Daniel was terrified, the way John was terrified, to see the Lord is a frightening thing. To see him in his glory is terrifying. Then we're told in verse 5, Isaiah said, woe is me. The judgment of God has come upon me. I'm ruined. Damah in Hebrew. I'm a wicked man who is lost in my sin. I'm a man of unclean lips, tameh. Now, in the presence of God, I see myself for who I really am, and He sees me. Perhaps even more terrifying, isn't it, when God sees us for who we really are? When He sees that we are defiled, that we are unclean. So how can I speak for a holy God and live? And Isaiah adds, I live among a people of unclean lips. We are all sinful. We are all defiled. Woe is me, for my eyes have seen the King of glory, the King of heaven and earth, the Lord of hosts. So I am shattered by my sin, sin which God hates. And then Isaiah tells us in verse 6, one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, ritzpah, with a glowing stone, which he had taken from the altar, perhaps the altar of incense, taking it with a pair of tongs, which speaks of the purifying work of Christ. And that angelic being touched my mouth with that coal. And though it was painful, you can be sure of that. And there is agony in the consequences of our sin. And the death of Christ takes away that pain. It takes away that sting of death. And so the angelic being said to Isaiah in verse 7, behold, hine in Hebrew, look and see. This burning coal has touched your lips, and your iniquity, avon in Hebrew, your guilt and your punishment is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. Then Isaiah says in verse 8, then I heard the voice of the Lord, who was seated on the throne, and I was no longer terrified, and I heard him say, whom shall I send? And who will go for us in order to speak to the people of their sin and to warn them of the judgment that is about to fall upon them? Who will point them to me? Then I said, here am I, Lord. Send me. And here's the bottom line. To those who have been purged, to those who have been cleansed of their sin by the blood, by the death of Christ, only those people can speak for a holy God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.